Encounters improve the quality of our lives. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life without God. Encounters will activate purpose and calling in our life. Encounters come to restore intimacy and fellowship.
The land of Zebulun, the land of Naphtali, by the way of the sea, beyond Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles, the people which sat in darkness saw a great light, and to them which sat in the region and the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Encounters come to restore intimacy. Encounters come to reveal to us the futility of life. If you don't have a relationship with God, anything of value can become God to you. Welcome to Encounter Jesus Ministries, sustaining an experiential knowledge of God and walking in the fullness of our eternal ordination. Now, listen to God's servant, Apostle Oropo Michael, as he takes us through an encounter with the Word.
We have a mandate of winning 5 million souls to the kingdom. And souls in Obi will be part of that number. The beautiful news tonight is you are not just going to be one to make the number. Your life will also become a stream of impact. Because the Bible said, I have not called the seed of Jacob to seek me in vain. Before I begin tonight, I want to appreciate Pastor Joshua and the whole team on ground that have labored to make this a success. We believe lives will be touched tonight. The stories of men will be altered tonight for good. The Bible said, before you were born, I knew you. And I ordained you to be a prophet to the nation. The reason God sends men like this is so that what was written concerning you before you were born will be activated. And so if you are ready to begin to live what was written concerning you, I want you to lift your hands toward heaven and tell the Lord, minister to me tonight. Tell him to minister to you tonight. The time has come. The Bible said at a certain time, the angel of the Lord went down and troubled the water. He said, whoever steps in first is cleansed of whatsoever infirmity. The waters of the Spirit are about to be stirred tonight. And people will step in their numbers. The blind will see. The lame will walk. The power of sin will be broken because the waters are about to be stirred tonight. And so ask the Lord to minister to you. Ah.
presence of God is already here. And so lives are about to begin to change. I am tempted to begin to minister in the power of God. Because when God's servant, Pastor Godwin, came up, he began to touch some of the scrolls that were given to me. And so I know the Holy Ghost has gone ahead of us. But for the next 30 minutes, I want you to sit down majestically and hear the word of the Lord. Afterwards, the power of God will begin to touch people. Sicknesses will begin to go. Demons will begin to leave men. Because Jesus is the same yesterday, today and forever. He did it yesterday. He will do it today. And he will do it forevermore. If you believe that, shout the loudest hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
In Luke chapter 18 from verse
38.
Let me begin from where Mr. Godwin stopped. The Bible told us an interesting story. Jesus went on a campaign.
Yes, we had told me a campaign.
And after having done so much, he was naturally exhausted. And so the Bible said he was coming out of Jericho. And there was a blind man. His condition had made him popular. You know, the devil is wicked. Sometimes the devil plagues men until they are known after their affliction. The man's name was
Bartimaeus.
But he was so famed in blindness that he was called blind
Bartimaeus.
You can imagine the pains that he was going through. Blindness itself is sorrow enough. A blind man goes through a lot of crisis. The first crisis a blind man goes through is that the world is so noisy to him. And because there are sounds coming from different places, it's difficult for a blind man to have coordination. So a blind man lives in fear and confusion. As if that is not enough, there was a psychological torment. That while they celebrate other people, Bartimaeus had a scar on his soul. Everybody called him blind. And so when people gather like this, the way we are, if Bartimaeus shows up, he won't have a seat to sit. They will say, get out, get to the back. Reasonable people are gathered. What are you looking for? Come back from here. So he suffered rejection. So the pains of
Bartimaeus
was not just a physical pain. The pain of
Bartimaeus
was also a mental and psychological pain. I know there are people here today that the devil has plagued in this manner. Some of you is with death. 5 years ago, somebody died. 3 years ago, somebody died. Last year, somebody died. And even while you are sitting here, you don't know if somebody will die next year. And so it has gotten so bad that when people are seated in your compound, naturally they will assume something bad is happening. Because the devil has put a plague on your family. People no longer gather around you to celebrate. In other families, when they gather, Maybe a marriage is taking place. Maybe a birthday is taking place. Maybe a coronation is taking place. But in your own family, the moment people gather, they will say, waiting happen again. Because the devil has put a negative name. But this crusade was put together for you. Because the Bible said, weeping may endure for the night. It said, joy comes in the morning. And so even though the cloud looks dark, I came to announce to you, this is your morning. Every negative name the devil has put on your family, every reproach hanging on your life and your family, is about to roll away. Because Jesus is passing through the city. And so when the Lord was passing through, even though he was tired, he could not deny the pains and affliction of Bartimaeus. He walked through the city, and that day the salvation of the Lord came to Bartimaeus. And so tonight I came to encourage you that Jesus is passing again. And so the same way Bartimaeus was delivered, that way joy will come to your life today. But it's important for you to understand the protocol. Because many times when we preach the gospel, people are seeing their neighbors receiving, and they are wondering, why am I not receiving? There's a protocol that governs spiritual things. If you know it, you can have it any day, anytime. There is a protocol that governs prosperity. There's a protocol that governs healing. There's a protocol that governs receiving from the Lord. The reason people do not receive is because they don't know how. God has more than enough. The Bible calls him the multi-breasted one. That means he has much more than we can ever ask. The reason people walk in lack is not because God does not have to give. The reason people walk in lack is because they don't know how to receive. If you know how to receive, you will start walking in abundance. And so the story of Bartimaeus reveals to us one of the protocols of receiving from the Lord. He shows us one of the ways of receiving from the Lord. And so Luke 18, verse 38 to 40. We saw how to receive from the Lord. Tonight is the first night. So I will keep it basic.
So Zembaku.
Just to prepare the ground for the many things to come. And so one thing I want to teach you tonight is how to receive from God any day, anytime. Now before I delve into what I want to share, I want to show you there are three categories of receiving. Bartimaeus is in the first category. Because the first thing you receive from God are the things God has to offer. The second category of receiving is not just to take something and go away. It's actually to become part of the family of God. In the first category of receiving, you don't need a relationship. You take from God and go away. And so you may need again. And But there is a second category of receiving. In the second category of receiving, you don't just take and go away. You become part of the family of God. And so you don't need to ask God to receive again. You don't have the right to take. And then there is a third category. The third category is that you don't just ask God for. You don't just have the right to take. But you now become a giver. Like we have come here tonight. We have come to give you healing. We have come to give you prosperity. And so what God wants to do for you tonight is for you to graduate from the first category of asking Him for things to enter the second category of becoming an heir of God. And then to enter the third category of becoming a giver of the things God has. Because it's one thing to ask God for healing. It's another thing to live above sickness. And then it's another thing to administer healing. The man who lives above sickness does not need to ask God for healing. Because he is not sick. So there is a higher realm in this operation. Then the man who administers healing is not only living in health. He has more than enough by the Holy Ghost to give. And so tonight, God will not only heal the sick, God will give divine health. And God will not only commission you into divine health, God will send you out as a healer. But there is a protocol that governs these three. And so let's begin from the first, which is where Bartimaeus was. He had no relationship with God. He just heard the stories of Jesus. That this Jesus is anointed of God. And anywhere he goes, he has the power to heal the sick. And so there are two things that govern the ability to receive from God. Which is what the life of Bartimaeus revealed to us. And so just in case you have cancer, just in case you cannot walk, just in case you cannot see, this is the time to pay attention. Because if you do what Bartimaeus did, you will have what Bartimaeus has. And so the two things you must have to always receive from God is number one, to believe that he's able. In Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6, he said whoever comes to him must believe. He didn't say he should believe. He said he must believe. And so Bartimaeus heard that Jesus could heal. And so he believed. The moment he believed, he activated the second protocol. I know most of you here believe. That's why you came. If you don't believe, you won't come. It's not easy to sit outside in the open like this. Except as you believe that God is able. But what we saw from the story of Bartimaeus is that it's not enough to believe. After you believe, there is something else you must do. The second thing you must do is to ask for what you want. And so Bartimaeus, when he heard that Jesus was passing, he lost his compartment. And he started shouting, Son of David,
have mercy on me. Son of David, have mercy on me. The people who saw him, they said, Kai, shut up. Who told you he has your time? I came to tell you a good news tonight. Your governor may not have your time. The senator representing your constituency may not have your time. The person representing you in House of Reps may not have your time. Even your local government chairman may not have your time. And the counselor of your ward may not have your time. Can I shock you, somebody? Even your biological father may not have your time. But there is somebody that always has our time. His name is Jesus, the Son of the Living God. And the moment Bartimaeus knew this, even though they told him, shut up, the Bible said he shouted the more. He stood with one man. And he said, Son of David, help me. And they said, shut up. When they say shut up, he left the person and he increased the volume times 10. And he said, Son of David, have mercy on me. When God begins to touch men, there will be somebody here that will want to say, Lord, touch me. But your emotions may tell you, shut up. Don't you know people here know you? That emotion becomes the man that was stopping Bartimaeus. Some of you, when Jesus begins to touch men, you may want to shout and say, help me. But your pride may tell you, shut up. I came to tell you something tonight. That when Jesus is passing, the devil has no power to stop you. The only person that has the power to stop you is yourself. And so all you need to do tonight is, number 1, believe. And number 2, act out your faith by calling on the Lord. And so the way to receive from God is to believe and to call. This is the simplicity of the gospel. There's somebody here that needed to receive from God. And they told you that you must be on a mountain for 40 days praying every night. It's good to pray for 40 days every night. It will build your spirit, man. There are some of you who wants to receive from God. And you went somewhere, they say, unless you give 50,000. And because you don't have money, you are not able to receive. I came to tell you today that receiving from God is free of charge. You don't need to give money to receive, because you can't buy what God has to offer. The gifts of God are free and they are without repentance. And so it doesn't matter what your challenge is. It doesn't matter for how long you have experienced it. If you make up your mind today and say, I will look up to Jesus alone, and I will ask him to help, you will be sure that he is the present help in time of need. In Psalm 50 verse 15, Jesus said, call upon me, I will answer. Call upon me, I will deliver you from all your troubles. In Jeremiah 33 verse 3, he said, call upon me, I will not only answer, but in addition to answering, I will show you great and mighty things that you know not of. The reason many people cannot receive from the Lord is because they want to take credit for what they receive. And so they want to do something,
They want to give something so that when God blesses them, they will say it's because of what I did that I received. Thereby sharing the glory with God. But if there is any other thing your faith is anchored on, God himself will insist that you don't receive so that you don't share his glory. And so tonight, the first category of people that God is addressing are those who need something from God. It may be healing. It may be health. It may be prosperity. It may be favor. It may be wisdom. As I speak now, you can check your life and discover this is what I lack. All you need to do is to forget about myself who is talking and say, Jesus, I believe. And when the command of the word begins to go forth, you will scream and take what God has made available. And you'll be shocked that your crisis will go just like that. And so the first category of people that comes to God are those who need something from the Lord. Now, God is not angry for you to demand something from him. In Matthew 7 verse 7 and 8, they say, ask, you will receive. Seek, you will find. Knock, the door will be opened to you. He says, as wicked as your fathers are, will you ask them for bread and they give you stone? Will you ask them for fish and they give you serpent? He says, your heavenly father will give unto you the kingdom. And so I came to challenge someone today. That issue that has been there for 10 years. If thou wouldest believe, thou shouldest see the glory of God. You need to make up your mind tonight and say this crisis ends here. I'm not leaving this crusade ground with it. I've not been able to walk for 2 years. They've carried me for 2 years. But from tonight, I will walk out of this crusade ground. I've not been able to see for 5 years. But tonight, this eye must open. And so when we begin to call upon the name of the Lord, they will say, God, open my eyes. And the same way your father easily gives you bread, Jesus will answer your cry tonight. But like I said, that's the first level. There is a higher level of what God gives. The first level of what God gives are the things you need. But there is another thing God has to offer. It's beyond healing. It's beyond health. It's beyond prosperity. The second thing God has to offer is himself. You can receive healing and you'll be a slave of a demon. You can receive healing and go to hell. Jesus raised some people from the dead. Yes, they died again. Because everything God gives you apart from himself will end on earth. And God does not want you to end on earth. Because when you leave this earth, you will enter another world. And in that world, you may not need healing. You may not need money. You need money today because they spend money on earth. You need healing today because you are wearing flesh. And flesh gets sick. When you get
into
the world after now, you will not need money. They don't spend money there. When you enter that world, you will not need healing because you will not go with your body. It's your spirit that will go there. And so you will need something much more than healing. And so because God lives in time and in eternity, He's not just willing to give you what you need in time. He wants to give you what you will need in eternity. And what you need in eternity is the companionship of Jesus. Because if you don't have Jesus, you will be naked in eternity. You will be tormented in eternity. And so tonight, in addition to asking God for healing, somebody is going to start a relationship with Jesus. Somebody is going to tell Jesus, thank you for healing, but you are the one I'm looking for. You know, when Abraham began to walk with God, he needed a child. Because everybody around him had children. In fact, sometimes Abraham lamented and said, Lord, all these things you have blessed me with, who will inherit it? Seeing that I have not an heir, is this Eliezer of Damascus that will inherit it? And so Abraham was crying day and night, I need a son. And God gave him a son. But before God gave him a son, in Genesis 17 verse 1, he said, walk before me and be thou perfect. He said, for I am your shield and your exceeding great reward. For those who have lived long enough in time, they will tell you. Once upon a time, they needed money. He looked as if money was all they needed in life. They worked for money. They begged for money. Some even stole for money. The moment they gathered money enough, they now discover there's a vacuum in the soul that money can't fill. And so they begin to explore all kinds of things. Some start dating numerous women. Some start smoking all kinds of things. Some start fighting for power. Today they are chairman. Tomorrow they are House of Reps member. Tomorrow they are senators. Tomorrow they are governors. Next tomorrow they are president. And when they get to presidency, they discover even power does not satisfy. They are in power for 25 years. They have nothing to show for it. They are staggering. They almost falling. But they still want to hold on to power. And when they stay there long enough, they now discover power does not satisfy. The only thing that satisfies eternally is the Son of the Living God. He said, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but shall have eternal life. He had entered another economy. When He said not perish, He's not talking about time. He was talking about eternity. Because you may not realize it. You may think alcohol is enough. But have you not checked your life? Just yesterday, you took 5 bottles. You had a hangover.
You woke up this morning and then you are empty as you were before you started drinking. Some of you smoked until you smell cigarette. When you are done smoking, you feel high for a moment. But after 2 hours, when the effect is gone, you discover you are still empty. Some of you sleep around with men and with women. For a few minutes, you enjoy yourself so much. But after a few minutes of that intercourse, you'll discover how empty you are again. But there is something that will keep you high forever. Except be not drunk with wine. Where is it? But be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and in hymns and in spiritual songs. Making melody to the Lord in your heart. I don't want to be high for 5 minutes. I don't want to be high for 2 hours. I don't want to be high for 1 day. I want to be high forever and ever. And so the only way to remain perpetually high is to tap into an energy that is beyond man. And so sometimes I wake up in the morning, and while I just woke up, sometimes the challenges that happen to men, and they go and lie down, they are crying. When those challenges happen to me, I stand up. I gather myself. I said, though weeping may endure for the night, joy comes in the morning. My light affliction are but for a moment. They work for me an exceeding weight of glory. I don't know what it means to be depressed. I don't know what it means to be down. Because the Bible said, Christ in you is the hope of glory. Christ in you is the hope of glory. And so beyond healing, I came tonight to introduce you to a relationship. In 1 John chapter 1 verse 1, it said that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which we have looked upon, that our hands have handled. He said that is what we commit to you. He said that you may have fellowship with us. And he said truly our fellowship is with the Father. Can I shock you, somebody? Some years ago, I was praying in the place of prayer, and suddenly the wall of my room opened and light came out of the wall. And when that light came out, I was carried on a journey. It looked like 5 minutes. But when I came back from that journey, it was already 6 hours 15 minutes. There are things we see and know that is beyond time. The Bible says eyes have not seen, neither ears heard, neither has it occurred to the heart of man, the things that God has in store for them that love him. And so tonight I invite you to fellowship. Tonight I invite you to a relationship with Jesus. You may be here, you were born into a Christian home. That is not a relationship with Jesus. That is called a religious background. A relationship with Jesus is not about your father is a pastor or a reverend. A
Your relationship with Jesus is personal. Sometimes you are sleeping, an angel enters your room and say, "Wake up, I want to show you something." Sometimes you should be depressed, and then the Holy Ghost comes and begins to whisper to you, and then from depression you enter laughter, because there is another word on your inside. It may be difficult for you to explain it to somebody, that I don't have money in my pocket yet I'm happy. The governor has not promised me anything yet I'm full of joy. The reason is because Christ in me is the hope of glory. The Bible said when God turns away the captivity of Zion, he said we were like them that dream dreams. He said then was our mouth full of laughter. A man that has relationship with Jesus, his mouth is full of laughter. Now, when you enter into a relationship with Jesus, the things Jesus gives those who call upon him, those things become your inheritance. When I come to your family and I need water, I'm going to ask you politely. I will say, "Please give me water to drink." The reason is because I can only receive that water if you show mercy. I don't have a right to it. So when a man does not have a relationship with Jesus, he will need faith and he will need to ask. When you enter a relationship with Jesus, you don't need faith anymore. That's why we are called believers. Faith has become your DNA. What you need is understanding. So in your own house, if you need water, you don't need to ask anybody. All you need to do is to get the cup, find where water is, fetch water, drink, and go and relax. Those who are outside, they will call on the Lord. Those of us who have a relationship with God, the Bible said in Romans 8:17, it said we are joint heirs with Christ. That means what Jesus has is mine. What I have belongs to Jesus. And so if I need something, I just catalampano it. I wish you understand. I wish you understand. And so when you find a believer who is sick, he doesn't go to God and say, "Lord, heal me." No. It's the unbeliever that asks God for healing. When you see a believer who is sick, what he needs to do is to charge the life that is on his inside. When he does it for a while, the energy of life will rise up on his inside. He doesn't need to ask God for healing anymore. The reason is because healing is an eternal life. And when he stands at life, healing will come out. That's how we operate in this kingdom. And so tonight, beyond healing, I came to introduce you to a relationship. When we wanted to start our ministry, I needed money in millions. We just came out of a lockdown. Nobody has money to give anybody. When you ask your best friends, they will say, "Oh my God, I wish you asked me yesterday. Just yesterday I gave out my last card." It's a big lie. The reason is because nobody has money to spare for anybody. In fact, when you are coming and they know you are coming to ask, the ones they have, they will hide it. We have come to that era where even food, people are not sharing. eating and you are coming. They quickly pack it up and hide. I tell you, they want to go out. When you turn back, they go and continue eating. And so we needed money in that kind of season. There was nobody to ask. But I know the name of the Lord that I serve. The Bible said the name of the Lord is a strong tower. The righteous runneth therein, and they are saved. And so all I needed to do was to go back to the one that sent me, because I had a relationship with him, and I was there praying. I was there talking to him. Instead of him telling me what to do to get money, he was giving me instruction on how to disciple people. And while we were talking to one another, the spirit went and began to trouble people. And somebody will wake up with my name in his heart. Somebody will be sleeping and I will appear and anoint him. And he will wake up from dream and said, "You anointed me. And when you anointed me, I felt like giving you 500,000. I was sitting in my house. The Holy Ghost took my image, divided it into many parts. He sent some to Lagos. He sent some to
America.
He sent some to London.
He
sent some to Benue. And people from different places began to gather their resources. At the end of the day, we spent not one, not two, not three, not four, not five, not six. We spent many millions. And we didn't sweat about it. Because when you have a relationship with Jesus, he said, "What others seek, it will be added to you as an advantage. Seek ye first the kingdom and his righteousness, and what others seek shall be added to you." What is the protocol of entering a relationship with Jesus? It's number one, to accept him as your Lord. What does it mean to be your Lord? It means you say, "From today, I don't own myself. I belong to you." When you make that decision, then the Holy Ghost will now have authority over you. You may be sleeping in the night, he will tap you, say, "Wake up." You want to sleep, but he wants you to wake up. You now remember that you call him Lord. So you don't own yourself anymore. You will drag yourself with your sleep and say, "Lord, here I am." You may want to buy something with what was your money. And then he shows up and says, "Give that money for another purpose." Even though you had your plans, you don't belong to yourself anymore. First Corinthians chapter 16 verse 20, he said you were bought with a price. You are no longer your own. You were bought with a price. Many don't have a relationship with God. Reinhard Bonnke told us a story. He said a man had a big mansion, and every day a demon came to torment him. And so he went to the Lord and said, "I want a relationship with you. Because I know you have authority over demons." And so Jesus came to him. And the man went and gave Jesus a bedroom upstairs. And said, "This is your room. Live here." And so he went to sleep. The devil came again and pounced on him. He woke up in the morning and was angry with Jesus. I said, "I invited you to my house. I gave you a room. Why do you still allow the devil to punish me?" And Jesus said, "The room you gave me, the devil didn't enter. Look at the room, it's intact.
man
said, okay, fine. I add the pallor.
Say ate, now back a pallor.
And Jesus said, thank you.
Yes, yes, now go there.
And so the pallor and the bedroom became Jesus' property.
Pallor da kumadaki kwenchi yazumana yesu.
The devil came again.
Yazo kuma.
And went through the kitchen door.
Yaje ta kitchen.
And met him in his master's bedroom.
Yagayana na adaki.
And pounced on him.
Yabeshu long kwenchi
kuma. The man woke up in the morning.
Dayatashi da safe.
And said, Jesus.
Yate yesu.
I've added pallor to you. Why do you still allow the devil? And Jesus said, I'm a gentleman.
Yes, we are.
The pallor and the bedroom you gave me, the devil didn't enter.
Pallor that daki kwencha da kabani
shida. I don't know about your bedroom.
Besendi ba gameda daki.
So the man became wise.
Say iki maya shigeshi.
And he said, take over the whole house.
Yesu kadoke gida na
gabani. And the next night, when the devil was coming,
adere da shida yazo.
He met Jesus on the front door.
Yake Yesu na seye.
He now went to the back door.
Yase da gefe.
When he came to the back door, he met Jesus on the back door.
Yesu na seye.
He now went through the window.
Yase da window.
When he came to the window,
yase fi window.
He met Jesus on the back on the window. You have called Jesus to help you, but there's a part of your life that alcohol controls. And so when the devil comes, he will enter the gate of alcohol. There's a part of your life where immorality controls. The reason you are not what God says you are is because you have not entered a full relationship with him. When you enter a full relationship with Jesus,
he
will now bring you to the third level. In the third level, Jesus will put himself on you. The Bible said in Romans 12:13,
it says
put on the Lord Jesus. So Jesus will put himself on you. And so he will now send you out. So the same things Jesus does, you will begin to do it. And so when a man needs healing, Jesus will not come from heaven. Jesus will send you there. And when you show up, Jesus shows up. In Mark 16, from verse 15,
it
said, this sign shall follow them that believe. Verse 17 rather. In my name they shall cast out devils. He said they shall drink deadly things, it shall not hurt them. If they lay hands on the sick will recover.
So
this is the journey of victorious living. Somebody is here tonight. He doesn't have a relationship with Jesus, but he wants to call on the name of the Lord. Heal me of cancer. Heal me of blindness. Jesus will heal you. But there is another level beyond the healing. Beyond the healing, Jesus is calling you to a personal relationship. And beyond that personal relationship, that thing you are asking Jesus for today, if you accept that relationship, tomorrow he will send you out to give that thing to other people. Because he doesn't just want to win you tonight. He wants to send you back to the world. That's why the Bible said, Jesus is the light of the world. But when Jesus ascended, the Bible said, you are the light of the world. So you came to the light. He delivers you from darkness. He now makes you light and sends you. But we need to journey from the place of asking him for something to entering a relationship with him until he's able to send you.
Say, yeah, I came.
Before we begin to give commandments tonight, I don't know where you are. Maybe you have been in church for 10 years. But you know that you don't have a relationship. It means you are not enjoying the best of God. Before Jesus begins to heal the sick tonight, he wants to invite you to a relationship.
And when you enter that relationship, healing will become a byproduct.
It says
healing is the children's bread. The way a father provides bread for his children, that's how Jesus provides healing for his children. And so maybe you are here tonight. You are not sure of your stand with God. You know your relationship with Jesus is destroyed. And you want to tell him, Lord, I want you in my life. I want a personal relationship. I want to invite you now to come to the altar. I want everybody to be upstanding. I want everybody to be upstanding. You are here tonight. You want to say, Jesus, I want a relationship. I don't just want healing. I don't just want favor. I want a relationship. I'm tired of drunkenness. I'm tired of lying. I'm tired of womanizing. I want you to run out now. I want you to run out now. I want a relationship. I want a relationship. I know you will heal me tonight. But I want a relationship. This is why we came. We came to build a relationship. Jesus, I want a relationship. Give me a song.
Choir.
Run out. Keep running. Keep running. I want a relationship. Jesus, I want you.
Yes. I surrender.
If you were blessed by this message you just listened to, and you wish to make Jesus your Lord and personal Savior, kindly repeat the prayer after me. Dear Heavenly Father, I believe in your Son Jesus Christ, and that He died for my sins and was raised from the dead for my justification. I therefore confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Lord of my life. I receive eternal life into my spirit. I am born again. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. If you just said this prayer, please send us an email at info.ejmi.ng@gmail.com or visit us on our website at www.encounterjesus.cc to enable us to reach you and afford us the privilege of discipling you. God bless you.